Hey, it's Razzle Dazzle Radio. It's spring, and it's the 50th year celebration for Columbia, Maryland. Bless you, James Rouse. Thank you for coming here and making this the land of the free, where we get to celebrate all cultures, all recreations, and especially the performing arts. So, to start off, let's go right into it. Let's talk to Melissa Lennenberg from the Masako Ballet Studio and find out what's going on. Hi, Melissa. I'm glad you're here.
Hi. Me too.
Yay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So tell us about what's going on. I think there's a Peter Pan performance.
There is, yeah. So Masako Ballet Studio is presenting Peter Pan as well as the Sleeping Beauty Suite this weekend, Sunday, April 30th at 3 at the Jim Rouse Theater.
Hey, there's his name again.
There he is.
And admission is free. So this will be the studio's performance for the spring season.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I am so impressed with Masako. She has certainly built the studio for 10 years, and she expanded and moved to Marriottsville. So What's going at that studio?
Yeah, so Masako Beats is our second studio in Marriottsville. This studio offers tap, jazz, hip-hop, and fitness, like yoga and qigong. And the Harper's Choice studio mostly focuses on ballet and modern.
So you still have two studios then?
Yep, both
great,
of them.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
That is so fabulous. Yeah. Okay, and aren't you doing a festival coming up too?
Yeah, so the Asian Heritage Month Festival is taking place in Baker Park, which is in Frederick, on Saturday, May 6th at 1:30. And we'll be presenting some Japanese pieces that Masako has choreographed for company and junior company members. So it's a really good time.
There's that cultural part I mentioned earlier. And then educationally, I know that you all do a performance, kind of a mini performance at the Central Library. I see that occasionally, so it's a couple times a year, right?
Yeah, we travel around to the different branch libraries here in Howard County, and we have one coming up on May 22nd at the Central Branch, like you said, at 6:30 p.m., so I think that's a Monday evening. And again, it'll be great Japanese and some classical ballet pieces intertwined, and normally, at the end of the performance, there's a children's activity. So whether that be like a dance or an arts and crafts project. So it's lovely to see all of the children and really enjoying this art form.
So this is especially for children?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for
great.
Sure.
Great.
Okay,
yeah.
A great way to introduce them to ballet and get them excited about that.
Before we go on, I have to go back a little bit. You are doing Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a free concert?
It is,
okay,
yes.
Two comments about that. Number one, I always ask this in relation to Peter Pan. Are you flying anyone?
You know, you might have to go to find out.
Okay, well, that's good. I like that. And having started and still maintain a couple of community theaters here in Howard County, free is something that usually isn't in anyone's vocabulary, because I remember when the Rouse Theater and the Smith Theater were constructed, the Smith Theater here at HCC, they wanted us to come in and use it. However, the prices that we pay for rental really prohibited us from doing that. So you guys must be really rich.
Well, I wouldn't say that necessarily, but the studio is doing quite well.
Great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's just a great contribution to the community, especially this year with the celebration.
Yep.
So wonderful. Well, thank you, Melissa. I guess, Mo, we've got to go and find out how they're flying Peter Pan.
I think so. I guess we will.
That's still my dream role. I'm going to keep trying to work on it, but I think I'm aging out.
I have a lot of comments, but I'm not. All of them will get me in trouble. I'm
absolutely. Melissa, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank
Pleasure
you both so
Melissa.
Much.
We are very honored to have with us a native of Columbia, Maryland and Howard County, young gentleman by the name of Jay Frisbee, who was born and raised here, went to school here, now lives in New York City, and is back in Howard County getting some civility and in a show. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It is such a pleasure to see you again, having last seen you on the Cappy stage down at the Hippodrome Theater with your buddy Nick Lehan after that production that Carol Lehan directed of Big River. And my theater company has since done that And I loved what you all did with it, and we did a similar thing with it with Silhouette Stages also. So oh, a fun show. Roger Miller score and Do Wackadoo and all that good stuff.
Far cry from the next one that he's in, right, Mo?
That is exactly right. Exactly right. And the show that you are in right now is entitled
Dorian's Closet.
And it is directed by Joseph Rich. And if I did not pronounce that correctly, we're sorry, but we're going to go with that for right now. Tell us about the show. Where is it being performed? When is it being performed? Are the tickets free? And what's going on with it?
So Dorian's Closet is a world premiere musical written, the book and lyrics by Richard Mailman and the music by Ryan Haas. And it's the story of Dorian Corey, who was a legendary female impersonator in the New York City drag and ball scene of the late 80s, early 90s. And it it fictionalizes but follows her life story through her struggle to become famous and her struggle for love and acceptance in sometimes a tough world. And kind of wraps up with the discovery of a mummified body in her closet after she passed away. And so this kind of tells that story, and it's got a lot of great music, a lot of amazing costumes, beautiful set. And so that actually opens on Friday, the 28th. We have our first preview on Thursday, the 27th.
Right now, huh?
Yeah, so we're right on top of it. And that'll run through the 14th of May.
Good.
Yeah. Right here at Rep Stage.
Well, lots of intrigue in this show, of course, because A, it's a musical. B, it is based on a true story. And C, it's a little bit of a mystery, because so far that I know from reading the preview is that, hence the name, there's something in Dorian's closet besides he, she coming out of the closet. There's something found after she's passed, right?
Absolutely.
And you're not going to tell us what that is, are you?
Well, I'll give you a hint. It is a mummified body. I won't let you know whose it is, okay. But that's kind of what sparked this whole idea to make a musical about it. It's such an intriguing story with such an intriguing person at the center of it. So I think that's what first set Richard off to start writing this piece.
Wow.
I loved in the preview that it says that how far will someone go to find their authentic self? And I think that's really an important theme, especially in this day and time that we're in. So speak to that.
Absolutely. A lot of the story revolves around the ball scene, right? So Dorian Corey was featured in the documentary Paris is Burning, and that looks at the New York City ball scene where a lot of, I guess, young African-American and Latino men and women would go and have these drag competitions and voguing competitions. And it became a kind of a sanctuary and a place to be celebrated when that wasn't always the case out in the larger world. And so it really talks about finding your inner self and finding and celebrating that and building a community that kind of celebrates and supports that. And there are things called drag families, right? Dorian Corey became the mother of the House of Corey.
Yeah,
and
I read that.
The mother kind of takes care of the younger members of the family. And for some of these people, their biological family wasn't able to kind of support them in the way that these ball and drag families and these houses ended up doing.
So, yes. Yeah. That's a great sideline to understand. I read a little bit about that, but didn't quite understand it to the extent that you explained it. So, well, I think it sounds super sizzling and super excited. Yeah. Anything else you want to tell us about the show?
Definitely come on out. It's a ton of fun. It's been so much fun rehearsing. Everyone in the cast has kind of been our own house of and kind of our own family so far. It's been a lot of fun, so we'd love to see you.
Oh, I know what you need to tell us. What part are you playing?
Oh, I'm playing the part of Jesse Torres, who is Dorian's kind of best friend and takes care of Dorian later in life as her illness progresses.
Oh, wow. Do you love your costumes?
These costumes are incredible.
Oh, I cannot wait to see it. Okay, so check it out, Rep Stage.
I have a couple of things I want to mention. One of them being that Rep Stage is an equity theater. We are so blessed here in the Howard County, Columbia, Baltimore, Washington area to have upwards of 6, 7, or 8 equity theaters, and these people are professionals. They have their equity card, which is their union card, and they know what they're doing. What is or what was your production period for this? How long have you been here? How long have you rehearsed it to tell the public when it started to get it to this point?
So this project has been in the works for years. Richard began writing it years ago. He's done workshops of it out in LA. And we did a reading of it after the whole process was cast, I guess, last June. So this particular group of people has been together working on it since at least June. And we began rehearsals, I think, at the end of March. So we've been at this for a while. And the fun thing about new works is that you get to keep shaping it and you get to keep fine-tuning it.
Sure.
And it's a really collaborative process. And so we're able to kind of bring out the best of all of our talents to kind of make this piece come together.
Yeah. Well, where would you like to see this piece in a year from now?
I think the dream is to, you know, have this world premiere succeed and then be able to go around to other regional theaters and, you know, to be able to keep this this story alive and to keep the story of Dorian being told. Yeah.
Large enough cast and large enough budget to possibly do it on Broadway or off Broadway?
Of course. I think that's always the dream. Yeah.
That's what I was hoping you
would
say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Skip the regional theaters,
yeah.
Although they are very, very, very important. So cool. Have you ever heard of the show, Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet and I'm Feeling So Sad?
I have not, but
it's a very, very wonderful show, not a musical. It's a straight play, and it has to do with a lady whose husband has passed away, and he was wrapped up, i.e. mummified, and kept in the closet.
Wow. Okay.
Which sort of strikes a little bit of a...
Definitely... Yeah. Rings a bell.
So,
yeah.
I can't wait to see it either. I am, ironically enough, going to be here that weekend. I will be in attendance. I'll be the one in the front row trying to make you crack up.
Well, I will be on the lookout then.
I'll be there, but I'll be back further.
Right.
Hey, you've come a long way, Jay, from young Colombian to here. I love it. Great starts, great roots. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks
can't
so much
to
for
see
having
you perform,
you.
Jay.
Thanks. Take care.
We are having a great time here. And that clip we've just seen is a presentation of the original Young Colombians when the company performed, I believe it was 1976, help me out, Toby, on the Lincoln Memorial steps.
That's correct.
How do you feel about that, you know?
How do I feel? I feel, where have all those years gone? I just saw a whole bunch of those kids, those adults now. I just saw them a couple of weeks ago at a party, and it was like yesterday. We were all silly and laughing and having a great time and loving music and, you know, just cheering the fact that we're all going to be together again at a reunion.
Just like we're doing right here at the Dragon Radio Station on Razzle Dazzle.
I have a question since you mentioned that, Toby. Now, since they were the Young Colombians, since that was decades ago, are they now the Old Colombians?
They are the forever young.
There we go.
I mean, how's that, Mo?
I know a lot of them, and I've seen a lot of them, and I know that they have really gotten older looking, but Judy, Carolyn, you and I have stayed the same.
Oh, and so have they. Betsy True, Carolyn.
Really?
Oh, come on. We've got some winners there.
Exactly.
So what's special about the upcoming reunion of the old Young Colombians and the new Young Colombians?
And all the Young Colombians, wherever you are.
Yep.
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of Colombia, and I was asked by the festival what I would love to do. It's also the 45th anniversary this year of my school, Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts. So I said, let's celebrate the history of the school and the history and the joy of performing arts. And let's do songs and stories from Toby's.
That's
the
wonderful.
The school and the theater.
Now, did Hal think that up for you, or was
no,
that yours?
No, I thought it all by myself.
All right, good.
Sometimes I can think by myself. I'll talk to you someday of what I can think about, okay?
And Toby, out of all of us, I have to say that I was the first of us to go to the Columbia School of Theatrical Arts because I moved to Columbia in 1974, right across the street from
the
school.
Wrong.
Wrong.
72, the school opened.
No, but I'm saying that out of Carolyn, Mo, and I, I was the earliest one to go there because when I moved into apartments and I saw that that school was across the street, I thought that I had really arrived. So I got out of the hippie van from college and said, Columbia is the only place for me. And I lived in an apartment and I went to classes over there and danced with Bonnie.
I know.
And you came in and I met you. You did an acting class that I will never forget. It was pure Stanislavski, and it was, like, incredible. So those are my early memories of.
Okay. Wow. But I think, Carolyn, that Michelle was at the school at the beginning in 73. Was she a flower in Hey, Sandra, What You Doing in the Woods? By
any
chance?
73. Well, she was a flower. Was she the tiny one, right?
Yes, a very tiny one.
This is way back here. Let's bring it up to date. Are we going to allow Judy to come to
the
reunion?
Well, I have a very wonderful story. Can I tell you this wonderful story?
Tell it. I love it.
One of my past students, what she does for a living is she finds people. I didn't know she did that for a living, but we've reconnected, and I said, gee, you're wonderful at this. She says, because this is what I do for a living, finding people. So I've been looking for this girl, Wendy Dyer, who was one of my very first students. So she connected with her, told her about the reunion. Wendy writes back, I want to go to this reunion so badly. It's one of my favorite times. I just remember that school with such joy, but it's a little far. I live in Amsterdam now.
So, big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Right. Hop a
Get
plane.
Over here.
Wendy, hop a plane.
Wonderful.
So when is this wonderful reunion?
June 24th and 25th.
Great.
On the 24th, we're going to, at 7 o'clock, we're going to trace the history of Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts on the lakefront, past young Columbians, middle-aged young Columbians, young Columbians, and people who have been on Broadway or in other places performing.
Great.
And that would be just a joy. On Sunday at the Smith Theater, and then we'll have a party. Of course, we always have to have parties. And then on Sunday at the Smith Theater, we're either going to do one or two sessions of songs and stories, Where Are They Now?, of people that studied theater. And this is something I'm so excited about. People that studied theater hoping to go into the theater and for whatever reason change their profession and why. And then there'll be those that are on Broadway now that are coming in to speak about what that profession is like.
Great.
And some of them will sing, but we'll have a panel, and we'll have an opportunity for the audience to ask questions. And then after that, we're all going to my theater, and we're going to have a great old time. We're going to do a post-show. And I think that the original cast of Grease is going to be there.
Oh, my.
Mary Keller, who's out in California, says she's coming in. And if they're there, I'm going to see that they work together and put together one of those numbers because Steve will be there and Robin Baxter and those kids that were in it. Wouldn't that be a hoot?
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Let's get that down on tape, too. Who cares about the rights, right?
Yep. Well, I remember so many of those young days because, like Judy, Barb and I moved to Columbia in 1974 also. And having been in the Army Corps and done theater in college, got into it here in Howard County, and I remember so well the many parties that the Toby's casts had and the young Columbians had at the old pub.
Right.
Here in Wild Lake.
Right.
That was
when
Robin got up on top of the piano.
Of the
it was
piano.
After one of the benefits.
Yep.
And she knocked them dead. She did.
Well, she should have an autographed spot if that piano still exists because she was always on top of that piano.
And I think it was Mary Keller. Somebody was having a fight and Mary Keller tried to stop her and threw something at her to stop her and the mirror behind her broke. There was lavish, beautiful mirror behind her. But there's just so many wonderful stories, and many of them, I think Stacy Wolf is coming in. She's a professor, and she's written a book on women in theater.
Oh,
here
boy.
She was studying theater, and she turned her focus onto writing. And your daughter, too, Caroline.
Absolutely. Now let's get back to something else that's happening over at Toby's Dinner Theater that's incredibly special. Caroline Bowman has been invited. She's a Broadway star. We had her on the show last year when she talked about her role in Evita as Evita. And also she had been in Kinky Boots and Wicked and tons of other shows. But she started right here in Columbia.
She did. She did. Now, this is a very crazy story. My husband is ready to throw me out because every day I come up with a new idea. And of course, it makes me not sleep at night. I have done Joseph 4 or 5 times with incredible women. And I said, wouldn't it be great for this anniversary to have every one of them plus someone who's was with me as a child and did my classes and camps and Young Columbians, but who, if we had done Joseph when they were here, would have been that narrator, and have 5 or 6 different narrators, and that's what we're doing, including Kathy Mundy, who's come out of retirement.
My buddy, I know.
And Kathy said to me, Kathy was a wonderful narrator, and she was nominated for a Helen Hayes Award, and she said, Toby, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can sing those notes. Well, guess what? I was at rehearsal the other day, and she was belting them away, and I was just crying. And said, too bad you can't sing anymore, Kat.
Now I know.
Yeah.
Well, I had to talk her out of her house to come and audition for Blood Brothers a number of years ago that Rick Ryder and I co-directed.
Yes, I remember.
And
she didn't do it.
She ended up doing it.
That's right. The first
night she came to the door, went back and sat down. One time she got out to the car and put her hand on the car and went back in. I called her and I said, Kathy, if you don't show up for auditions tonight, you're going to not have a friend the rest of your life. And she showed up and did the show, and then she was so happy that she did the show.
Oh, that's a wonderful show, But anyway, isn't that exciting? And also, as part of Caroline Bowman, each year you listeners may not know this, but we have wonderful camps through the center. And we specialize in scholarships, which we call Starfish, for children that can't afford these camps. And usually we do a fundraiser. And one night we're going to do a fundraiser while Caroline's there. So all you have to do is pay for a kid to go to camp, and you come and spend the evening with us, have dinner, and see the show.
Right.
And see Caroline do that part.
Let's give a phone number, 410-730-8311. At least that'll get you over to Toby's somehow.
And they can ask for me personally.
Yes, okay.
Or 410-381-0700, and that's the center's number.
Right.
So we're going to see a lot of people in Columbia that grew up here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Betsy True grew up here. I believe Sherry Butcher is coming in.
Oh, that'd be great.
Whose father was one of the first principals here, and her mother taught here.
Yep.
And so that's going to be very exciting for these people to be back in their hometown.
Before we
close, performing at the lakefront.
Before we close, I would like to put on another clip right now. And it's the voice of Betsy True when she performed, I guess she was a young teenager in 1976 or very young. And when she spoke about you, Toby, in a production that was done, maybe 20 years ago. Let's listen to the words.
I think it was more. I think it was in the 70s. I think it was that interview with Harry Pollack, was it? Yeah, she was 13 or 14, maybe 15 at the most.
Mm-hmm. The Young Columbians, the original group, when we did get together, the main ingredient that all of us did have was that we could all sing, all dance, and act our way through a song or act our way through a part of the review. And I think that's why it was so successful. Also, of course, with the wonderful direction of Toby Ornstein and musical direction of Patricia Hammer and all of that. But the reason why I think it kept going and caught on was that all of the performers had that triple threat and had that inner talent where they could do all three. You know, anything that was thrown at them, they could say, yeah, sure, I can do that, or yeah, it's this dance, no problem. You know, it wasn't like we had the singers over here and the dancers over here. And I think it's that way for theater now anyway. You have to do all three.
Speaking of Betsy, it's so wonderful. I just saw her a few weeks ago. She went right from Columbia after doing Gypsy at my theater to New York to a Broadway show, did Broadway shows, got married, had children. And you know what she's doing now? She's decided to teach the underserved community of kids because she knows how much they succeed, how much kids succeed when they're in the arts. Do you hear that, all adults, all teachers out there? The arts are the way to go with kids.
And there are a ton of your kids and kids that went to Howard County High Schools.
Absolutely.
That are out there teaching. And there's nothing to me more gratifying than to see people succeed on Broadway.
Right.
But even more so to see them value teaching.
Right.
And to have fun doing that. Because yeah. That's why I did it, and I'm sure that's why you did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Theater and the performing arts
absolutely.
Are just a ball. And here in the Howard County, Baltimore, Washington area, there is not one single weekend that goes by that we don't have a choice of at least a dozen or two dozen performing arts activities that we can attend. And, of course, there is not enough hours in the day to see them all. But here in Howard County and in Columbia, we are blessed with groups like Toby Ornstein's group and a lot of people that are performing on an ongoing basis.
But what we don't have is we don't have classrooms and teachers after school, outside of school, for these kids to really learn to risk in a safe situation.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm hoping to see in my lifetime.
Yep. More and more.
And we do not have a children's theater in our
yep.
community,
yep.
where, although I have it at my theater, but in a very limited way because we don't have the space.
Yep.
But we will have one someday.
I know that Toby and I were both on this board that when Jim Roby was the county executive,
yep.
they did a study and they came back and said, no, county does not want one single thing to do with buying Merriweather Post Pavilion, but what you need are more rehearsal spaces,
right.
more small theaters.
Right.
And then they just did it again like two or three years ago.
Right.
With younger people not knowing this other thing, and they came back with the exact same findings.
I know.
So as my dad used to say on the farm, sometimes you need the hammer to get the donkey's attention.
That's right. And maybe we've done that now. Maybe well, we're hammering away.
Let's hope so. Let me fill you in on what's going on down at Toby's Dinner Theater. Right now, performances of Beauty and Beast are going on very, very successfully. And that show will close on the 18th of June. Giving way to a wonderful idea with Joseph Dreamcoat, which if those of you who know the show, there is a narrator in the show. And Toby has been blessed over the years to have some unbelievably talented people as her narrators. And that show, opening on June the 21st, will have narrators rotating in a two-week time slot. So if you are fans of Caroline Bowman, or of Janine Sundy, or of Mary Kay Brie, and also my good buddy Kathy Mundy, and which one am I missing?
Kobe.
And Kobe. There are five of them that are going to be the narrators down there. It would be really nice if you would go see all five of them. And Toby, of course, would like that a lot also.
And we're going to close and thank Toby and Mo and Judy because we don't have any more time. But we're
going to
go out with something. We're going to go out with the final clip of the Young Columbians during the mid-'80s. And that's when some of the performers included Michelle Kellerman, Denise Probst, Edward Norton, and Peter Sillette. So let's listen to
Alex Bowler.
And Alex Bowler. And let's listen to the Young Columbians clip, also singing, "This Is My Country." Thanks, Toby. Thanks, Mo. Thanks, Judy. I'm Carolyn Kellerman.